Thanks a lot. We are indeed very happy to have been invited to this dialogue. We find it's a very good initiative because by no way Rio plus 20 is kind of an end. It's much more a stepping stone in a process. That's how we see it. I mean, for us, multilateralism is, there is just simply no alternative to multilateralism. And sometimes it works better than at other times. And we do agree fully. I mean, my colleague from the UNCTAD just said it before, that Rio was really, I mean, it was really shocking there. There were two worlds in Rio. You had the formal process, which was the negotiation around the document, and I would say mainly thanks to Brazil, the host government, we managed to have a consensus, which was a great thing to have. The document is certainly not perfect, far from it, but it's a stepping stone in the multilateral process. What was very encouraging, at least for us, was the informal process this time. I mean, the diversification of the participants coming, attending, committing themselves. I mean, for us, the action and the energy were clearly there. You had all these participants from private sector, from civil society organization, academia, legislator also, and they all, I think we don't even have a compilation of all what was agreed, but what was striking for us was also the multi-stakeholder kind of coalitions and alliances that formed there. So sometimes you had some governments also joining into some of the alliances, and we feel that this is extremely encouraging. It's of course maybe not as orderly as the formal process is, and you, well, we'll probably lack the overview now, but at least we know a lot of things are going on. And as we speak right now, actually, our main person in the World Bank Group dealing with Rio Plus 20 and those questions, Rachel Kite, who is the Vice President for Sustainable Development, she herself, I know she's also in a kind of a panel discussion, a virtual discussion. It's something that can be watched online with mainly the private sector. It's a discussion in the context of the Carbon Disclosure Project. And they are really discussing what is the way forward, how can the world change the way it does business. Because, see, I mean, one thing that we realize also very much is it's nearly, I mean, evident that there could not be a consensus. Because I think the thing is also we just don't have the recipe yet. We know we have to change the way we do business. We know we need a totally different type of growth. But we don't know how to get there. And I think that's why it is so important to have this type of dialogues and to speak with each other and to brainstorm and bring ideas together. I would say, you know, even in the bank, we don't agree. There's sometimes I have the feeling, especially when I read the press speaking about the bank, that there is this kind of uniform mind and an idea from the bank. But basically, we argue a lot among ourselves. And I can tell you that right now, I mean, we have a new president also coming in, and there are really a lot of discussion now in the post-Rio plus 20 context on what does it mean for us and where should we put our priorities, where should we work more. So I think this is an interesting, I mean, not an easy process, but interesting outcome. Quickly, maybe just, yeah. Here you have basically the six building blocks. The bank had decided actually to focus on those topics which make most sense for us and where we work with our client countries most heavily. So starting at the bottom, inclusive green growth, there we owe a big debt to actually all the colleagues from the other international organization who have worked already before. I mean, to start with UNEP, who started with the green economy definition, then of course also OECD, who worked a lot on green growth strategy. And we published just 1 month before Rio a major report, which can be downloaded, by the way, from our website. All our documents are freely available. And this is an inclusive green growth report. It's a report with a lot of questions. Actually, you will not find answers there, but you will find a lot of reflection areas. What certainly is the case, we came with the very strong conviction that inclusive green growth is not a luxury. It's not something for developed countries or that you do after having developed. To the contrary, the earlier you embark on such a track, the better you might be off. And the other thing is what is written there in yellow. Inclusive green growth is much more than environmental measures. Of course, environmental measures are an important part, but we came to the conclusion that actually some of the Millennium Development Goals that are not going to be fulfilled, like maternal health, sanitation, child mortality, of course, the jobs issue, are all very much part of this inclusive green growth. And one of these consequences that we take for ourselves is that we need to work in a different way. It's very complex, but we need much more people who can think across sectors. We need less specialists who are really top specialists in one area. We need people who can talk to each other and make linkages and bridges to each other, because that's the reality. And all of the things that actually we are now facing are somehow interlinked. And I think most of us are overwhelmed by this complexity. But we really need to find ways to cope with it and to have something that makes sense and where we have a real development process. Then the other blocks, I will just very quickly mention them because they have already been mentioned before by the two interlocutors. Energy, we totally support the UN Secretary General's initiative on sustainable energy for all. We would like to double energy lending, but mainly emphasizing low carbon technologies and energy efficiency, expanding projects that have been really quite successful, like the Lighting Africa initiatives, where we work in the rural areas with solar lamps, or the Clean Cooking Stove initiative in East Asia and Pacific area, where we try to replace unsafe and unhealthy kind of cooking stove with more efficient and, of course, much healthier way to cook. Then the Natural Capital Accounting initiative that has also been mentioned, they're very happy to continue working with all the colleagues that are also part of it. We wanted actually at the beginning to have we called it 50-50 campaign because our goal was to have a minimum of 50 country governments and 50 firms joining. So we were really very happy that in the end we had 59. Now we have 62 countries who are members, and we have over 90 firms. And then we have on top a group like about 20 civil society organizations who are also supporting this search to how can we now truly implement. We have this definition, this help by the UN Statistical Commission, but how can we really implement natural capital accounting in a sensible way? Then the three other issues, oceans. I think oceans was something that nearly surprised us, that there was a breakthrough there, in the sense that we have the feeling that we have a platform with by now 120 countries. And what we see there, the next step should be really to have an investment program to turn the kind of goals that are there in concrete targets, something that, you know, we can measure and really implement in a way where we can see, yes, we are moving. Landscapes is something for us which started at Durban, actually, in COP17. And when we speak of landscapes, we suddenly realize that actually agriculture, forest, land, water, all these things, we cannot consider them separately. So again, it's this need for this integrated and cross-area approach that we would like to emphasize when we speak of landscape. And the last thing, urban scapes, the cities, simply because cities are becoming more and more important. It's a known fact that, I don't know, some 70 million people per year are moving into cities. We have more and more of the mega cities. And for us, at least in the bank, this is becoming a bigger and bigger challenge, because there we concentrate so many problems, and when disaster occurs touching those cities, so many people are then being touched and harmed. So cities are very important, and at the same time we have also kind of effective cities alliances, a few mayors of big cities who are doing interesting things, so we feel that's something which really deserves to be watched. Last slide, I'm not going to go through it, but the future we choose. Actually, we were very much inspired by a young New Zealand representative who was representing the youth at Rio Plus 20, and she kind of said to the delegates, well, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of the youth, and you have entitled this document The Future We Want, but actually, you know, for us youth, it's really the future you choose, because, I mean, it's not the one we want. We are not part of the discussions, really. And so we decide, well, probably, you know, she's right. Also, we have options. And the one option to let go things like we are going now and to continue where we have been going is simply not an option. So it's really it should be a concrete choice that we are making, and we should be aware of it, and that should be really motivating. I don't want to speak longer because I prefer to have some dialogues. Yeah, thank you.